Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Facebook suffered its biggest outage ever on Monday, but the damage done via configuration changes on backbone routers may pale in comparison to the damage control Facebook does in an effort not to become regulated. Amazon held its fall product event and announced several new devices, including a 15-inch Echo Show, a $1,000 2-foot-tall robot that can bring you drinks, and an autonomous flying security drone called Always Home Cam. Twitter is back on in Nigeria after being banned by the country back in June after taking down one of President Buhari's tweets. And we dive into what receipts Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen has provided to the SEC and what she might say before the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Subcommittee on Consumer Protection, Product Safety, and Data Security. We've got all this and a lot more in the next episode of The Tech Giant. From Columbus, Ohio, I'm your host, Rob Dunwood.
Coming out of Philly is your girl, Tech Life Steph.
And coming out of suburbs of Atlanta, this is Terrence Gaines, a.k.a. Brother Tech.
So, y'all, I was going to ask, like I always do, how your week was going, but it was a slow week in tech. What I got to ask is how your day going? Because I think Earth started spinning the opposite direction on his axis or something like that.
Yeah, I had to get my Twitter, dust off my Twitter fingers. Yeah,
this little unknown company that probably not many people have heard of called Facebook is suffering a major outage as we speak. And I mean major, major. It's affecting Earth. It's affecting Facebook. It's affecting Instagram. It's affecting WhatsApp Messenger. It's affecting Facebook Messenger. They are down, down.
Oculus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about the VR property stuff.
And all of their internal stuff. So workplace, you know, all of their internal employee communications methods, like literally the entire kit and caboodle.
They have reverted back to using email for communication.
And not just email, Outlook email.
Right.
I was like, wow, y'all really went back to the Stone Ages.
So, yeah, you know stuff is broke when they are going to. I don't even know if you can call Twitter their biggest competitor, because Twitter is a rounding error compared to what Facebook is. But that's what they're doing. They're letting Earth know what is happening with them on their official Twitter account. And of course, Every tech website on the planet is reporting about it almost in real time, what's going on. But this outage is massive. I guess it's a DNS issue, but there's an article I just looked at that said that. we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I got the same questions.
Well, it's affecting their money because Facebook shares are down more than 5% in the story that I'm reading. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Facebook has been big on advertising on Facebook, so much so to where my feed, I can barely see posts from people I want to see. You got to jump through all these hoops and like and subscribe and comment just to get Facebook to show me the people that I want to see, unless I click $5 to boost the post. So if Facebook's down, my little $5 on top of the millions of all the other people actually running businesses solely on Facebook and Instagram, they losing all that money. So they scrambling, insane, to say the least.
Insane. This is definitely kind of unprecedented. It's their worst outage ever. I believe there was one back in 2008 that was pretty bad, but we're looking at about 6.5 hours now. I know around noon is when Down Detector and most people started reporting sort of the massive outage. It's like, you know, 6.5 hours in and no end in sight. So this is a huge deal. It's a very big deal.
Now, for me, I am not on Facebook all day long. I know people who are, but I'm just not a big, giant Facebook user. I'm more in Facebook groups. I'll go and I'll talk there, but that's usually first thing in the morning, maybe at lunchtime, maybe, 10, 15 minutes in the evenings. What got me, though, is that I'm a huge user of WhatsApp Messenger. So right around lunchtime, I'm like, what's going on with WhatsApp? I'm thinking that, let me reboot my phone, because you just never think that, Facebook is down right now. That's not the first thought that comes to mind. So I'm thinking that there's something wrong with my data. I was, waiting, in a parking lot trying to pick somebody up, and I'm trying to hit them up on WhatsApp, and, oh man, I can't use this. I'm going to have to go to old school and actually call this person. But it wasn't until I got home right after lunchtime that I realized that, wait a minute, Earth is not rotating properly any longer. So there's a ton of folks that are having this issue right now. I know my mother-in-law.
That's the thing. It's like, we talk about it from a very American perspective, but I think that's probably the biggest issue, the fact that WhatsApp is down, because in other countries, that is some people's only form of communication. That's the only way they can reach family and friends and keep in touch and let folks know what's happening and whatever. So the idea that there are potentially billions of people who are now basically cut off from their people and from communications from government and business and anything else is a much bigger deal than I think we're giving credence to. We can in America kind of joke about, ha ha ha, let me go on Twitter and joke about the, but it's WhatsApp is a literal lifeline for a lot of people globally. And Facebook, like I said, we're going to talk about, what really might be happening a little later on. But, if my conspiracy theory is correct, Facebook needs to get it together. Seriously.
And not just that, like I mentioned, I'm a part of a lot of Facebook groups who they are business oriented, right, business driven. Their entire business is ran within Facebook, from a Facebook page to a Facebook business to Facebook groups.
Yep.
So all of these, to Facebook advertising, there are businesses that I know personally spending thousands of dollars per week, if not day.
Right.
On Facebook business, and the fact that they are down, people are like legitimately scrambling, like, all right, well, let me dust off my email newsletter, let me figure out how to send text messages, when that should have been the focus at the beginning. But it's Facebook.
Let's talk about it.
Facebook is like, Facebook ain't going nowhere. There's how many billions, 2-3 billion people with 3 billion Facebook accounts. So it's logical to step aside, sidestep the common sense that says, don't put all your business in Facebook.
Right.
But it's just like, how can you not put your business in Facebook until something like this happens?
So you just casually said that 3 billion, that number billion, like it's not a big number. So to put that in perspective, that's 42% of all the people in the universe that we know of. Think how big the universe is that we know of. That's 42% of them folks are on Facebook. So I believe, what is it? Facebook is just over 60% of all of the internet.
Well, 60% of all internet connected people.
You said that much better than me. So
if you have internet, you're probably on Facebook.
So right. I remember way
until
back
today.
Yeah. Well, way back in the day, AOL and CompuServe. And I remember particularly with like my parents and aunts and uncles when they were getting their AOL accounts and stuff like that in the late 80s for my folks and early 90s for some of my family, that was the internet to them. And I think for many people today, Facebook is the internet for them.
Absolutely.
Like my mother-in-law, she is very adept with using Facebook. You know, whether it be on her phone or even if she were to get in front of the computer, she absolutely knows how to use Facebook. But she web browses through Facebook because the links mm-hmm. come up in Facebook. And she does, you know, she's usually on her phone doing it. So she never clicks that view in Chrome or view in Safari. It's always just in Facebook. So for her, because she never leaves the property, Facebook is her reality of what the internet is. And I know that there are millions, if not hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of people who think of Facebook the same way. It's like, that's where you go to get everything.
When you think about globally, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's like some of the phones that gets sold in other countries and develop, especially in developing countries, that's the browser. Facebook mm-hmm. is the browser on the smartphone. You know, there is no Chrome to even download or anything like that. Like, Facebook is the browser on the phone. And they, I think they were calling them Facebook phones at one point because that's pretty much what they are. So to your point, yes, you know, Facebook is the way that the only way that some people actually are connected to what's going on around the world via the internet. So this is something.
It's major.
Right. And I saw as a result, people are flocking to Twitter because they have to figure out some way to scream into the void. Right. So I saw this funny tweet as it relates to Facebook being their internet, right? So this person put on Twitter, they said, Facebook and WhatsApp being down is surely an interruption to a lot of people's quote unquote research on vaccines.
God forbid you have to actually Google a legitimate source to find information. Oh my goodness, what are we gonna do?
Yeah, so people are having a field day on Twitter, and I just thought that's just funny. Everybody's running over there. Twitter themselves put out a tweet that said, "Welcome, literally everyone."
Right, I saw that. Right.
Yeah,
like, how y'all doing? I mean.
Companies, they're definitely, I don't want to say they're throwing shade, but I think Netflix even had a tweet out about, you know, it being down. It's very visual. You have to kind of look at it. So we'll link to it in our show note, but it's just, this is a huge, huge outage. Right. I mean, it could potentially be the biggest outage that we've ever seen. When you're talking about a company of this size and the magnitude of what is down. And we already touched on this a little bit, but I'm just thinking, I have a sister who lives in the UK. You know, I've got a couple of really good friends. We've actually got a brand new supporter of the show, who lives in the UK. And I was actually going back and forth with him on Discord of all things. You know, we're connected in a couple of other Discord servers. And, you know, he was just like, man, it's like, you Americans don't realize how bad this is, because WhatsApp is what they use there. It's like, they don't SMS. They use WhatsApp, because when you think about, not just the UK, but when you just think about Europe, you know, there are countries that are smaller than many states that we have here. And when you drive from one country to the next country, you could be dealing with a different carrier. So WhatsApp just kind of eliminates all that. Make sure you've got plenty of data and don't worry about who your carrier is. As long as you've got data, you'll be able to communicate with anybody anywhere, regardless of where you are, or what side of a river you're on, or what, you know, or what tunnel you just went through. So it is absolutely disruptive for them, because that's what they use. I can't remember. This is from I'm just going off the top of my head now, but I remember that there were a couple of carriers who were actually using WhatsApp as their messaging platform. So they were not using SMS. They were using WhatsApp as their platform. So if this goes down, you know, it's down in a big way to where you may not be able to communicate. But I don't want to take all day talking about Facebook, because we're going to talk more about Facebook. So since we're on the subject of Facebook, I have to ask, did either of you see that 60 Minutes interview last night about Facebook?
Yes.
So, Stephanie, I know where you want to go, because I'm thinking the same thing. It's like, is it a coincidence that the massive outage that we're having in comes hours after this interview goes live, and hours before this whistleblower is going to testify before Congress tomorrow?
I do not think so. All I can see in my head is Mark Zuckerberg petting a white cat and twirling an invisible mustache. Like, I feel like this is the most evil genius of evil genius things to do, to let everybody know that you need us and we can take this away from you at any time. Mm-hmm. I really, in my heart and my soul, I feel like this is them. This is Mark Zuckerberg, not even them, just Mark Zuckerberg sending a message to let us know what could happen if this all went away. You know what I mean? Because I just, you know, I don't work in IT. I've never, maybe, Terrence, you can probably speak, could, but I just don't feel like an error of this type of what they're saying. This is a DNS server error, BGP, good stuff. I just don't feel like this should take this long to resolve. And I just feel like the timing and everything else is just a message is being sent. I think a very pointed and direct message is being sent to the world, actually, and to all those business owners and to all those people that rely on WhatsApp and rely on Facebook for their internet. A message is being sent right now. I believe that in my soul, in my spirit, like for real.
No,
that's pretty gangsta if that is the case, because again, the fact that it's not a ransomware thing, well, let me not say it's not that. Facebook hasn't said anything that points to this being something external causing this error. They haven't said anything, but they definitely haven't said that. They definitely haven't said anything about some sort of virus. They haven't said anything about some sort of data leak or breach or hack or anything like that. So again, when you don't say anything, that leads people down the road to what else could it be? You know, what else could it be?
I'm not even conspiracy theorist like that, but this just the math ain't mathing on the excuse that they're giving for this outage.
So let's take a step back and talk about the whistleblower with Facebook. I don't even want to say that we alluded to it. We talked about how stuff was out there that was saying that Facebook is, or I should say Instagram, is bad for young girls. And we didn't really go deep into it because we recorded this a week ago today, which is Monday. Today is Monday the 4th. So we talked about this last Monday. That news was real fresh. We didn't know how deep it went and all that was leaked and all that came out from this whistleblower. But long story short, there is an employee at Facebook who their goal was to work on disinformation. At Facebook. That's what they went there for.
Her name is Frances Haugen, and she was in their civic integrity division at Facebook.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And she basically after January 6th was like, okay, I don't know what I can do in here. I'm going to have to just start getting receipts. So she literally started just getting copies of all kind of internal documents. And this stuff is hellacious. I mean, Facebook knows how bad their stuff is for us. Yet they also know that the stuff that is really bad for us is what makes them the most amount of money.
Yep. Right. And so basically what she did, I'm going to read the whole piece from this story. She secretly copied tens of thousands of pages of Facebook internal research. And in that research, she says the evidence shows that the company is flat out lying to the public about making significant progress against hate, violence, and misinformation. One study she found from this year, not 5 years ago, not 2013. One study she found from this year says, we estimate that we may action as little as 3-5% of hate, 0.6%. That's small. 0.6% of violence and incitement on by being the best in the world at it. So she says they're in the best in the world of trying to figure out how to get rid of this information, but they only jump on 0.6%. And again, that kind of goes back, like you mentioned, Rob, that goes back to our conversation when I said Facebook, it may be impossible for Facebook to corral and moderate all this information because of AI, because of all these other things. But not only that, not only are they, it's impossible for it to do it. They ain't even trying, according to this story.
They ain't even trying.
They ain't even trying. Exactly. And the thing about it is, you know, this woman, was working in this civic integrity department, and they were only there basically temporarily to get through last year's election, presidential election. They disbanded that unit right after the election. And then what happens on January 6th? You know, right. It's something that could have been avoided. It brings to mind for me the fact that our national pandemic response unit was disbanded right before a global pandemic. Mm-hmm. It's just like you wonder, this stuff just does not seem unintentional, you know, at times. It just
coincidental.
Exactly. It's like these are not stupid people. These are some of the best and brightest and smartest people, you know, that we have in this country. These are not stupid people. So when you look at the timing of these things and the intentionality with which they're suppressing the data and, you know, keeping a lid on the reports and all that other stuff, it's just like, Something in the milk ain't clean, man.
Right. When I think about this, and I've just been reading through this stuff all day today, I don't believe that Facebook's intention is to make 13-year-old girls feel bad about how they look.
Absolutely not.
I just think that their intention is, but if we're making money off of it, we ain't going to stop it.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. Facebook's intention is to make money.
Right.
Period.
Right. And she puts, Frances actually puts this conversation between her, I'm assuming this is a reporter. She says, one of the consequences of how Facebook is picking out what content today that is, optimizing for content that gets engagement or reaction. But its own research is showing that that this content is hateful, it's divisive, and it's polarizing. It's easier to inspire people to anger than it is to other emotions. And then the reporter says, misinformation, angry content is enticing to people and she says, very enticing. And he says, keeps them on the platform. She says, yes, Facebook has realized that if they change the algorithm to be safer, people will spend less time on the site. They'll click on less ads and they'll make less money.
But then how much is enough? Facebook is a $1 trillion company. Like, you can afford to make a little bit less money by keeping people, if the trade-off is keeping people safe. You know, it just disgusts me that this, you know, cash rules everything around me kind of mentality is how business gets done. And I understand America's a capitalist society and all that, but we're also human beings. And it's just like, come on, when is somebody going to, you know, step up and say, like, I can fix, not even fix, because you're not going to fix all of it, but I can do something to help mitigate this. So I'm going to, because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like what old girl Frances said. She's like, you know what? Enough is enough. I can't stand it. She has some quotes in here to where she's like, you know what? It's just painful and I just can't take it anymore.
It is. It's awful.
So she is an official whistleblower. She is going to be in front of Congress tomorrow. So she's got some protections.
But some
protections, because she didn't just take this to the government. She also took it to the Wall Street Journal. So the question is Facebook going to go after her? And right now, they're probably kind of riding this wave, trying to figure out, you know, let me stick my finger up in the wind and see where this is going. Because they may not want to touch her at this point.
Bad. Yeah, the optics would be bad for them to do that.
So my conspiracy theorist was, and yours was definitely better because I didn't think of it that way. But my conspiracy theory was, okay, this lady is going up in front of Congress or whomever tomorrow. Let's take down, quote unquote, the internet so the information doesn't travel about this meeting where everybody's talking about whoever. Let's just go ahead and kill everything. So once she's done talking, the next news thing with whatever the pandemic or whatever the case may be, some other thing will come up and people will change the channel. So let's go ahead and put the kibosh on that conversation on our channel, at least. Of course, people are going to go over to Twitter. People are going to go other places. But if we're talking all these people on Facebook, then clearly a lot of this conversation may be just a little bit to where we can do damage control and then just move on.
I think that probably was a part of it as well. I mean, I think, like I said, I think Facebook is kind of diabolical in the way that they protect their own interests above all else. But it's funny, you know, when you do, you know, rat people out when you snitch. They always hit you in the pocket, just like Al Capone, you know, mm-hmm. got convicted on tax evasion. Mm-hmm. She actually filed her lawsuits with the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. So it's not that, you know, Facebook, there's not going to be any moral resolution to this as to whether or not Facebook did something wrong or not. They're going to be determining if Facebook lied to their investors because they were telling them that, you know, everything's cool.
We're doing
everything we can to get this type of information off our platform. Meanwhile, your own research telling a whole different story. So
this
is going to be a very, very interesting case. You know, I know I'm going to be following it closely, but I think both of those things can be true. The fact that Facebook wants to send a message, but also that they maybe want to make sure that, you know, as much of this information as possible does not get propagated across their platforms.
It's funny that you say that they may be going after Facebook like they went after Capone way, way back in the day, because I actually on Twitter saw somebody say, are they about to go all untouchables on Facebook?
I'm just saying, that's the way you get these companies. You got to hit them in the pocket.
So, you know, so Terrence, to your point, I would actually say that would be the one if this would have happened tomorrow morning while the stuff is going on.
True.
But here's the thing. If Facebook is down tomorrow at this time still, is as down as they are right now, the inevitable is coming. They're going to get regulated. Because
Pelosi and Schumer and them have been trying to get at Facebook for a hot minute.
There, you know, I see regulation coming to Facebook, and by Facebook coming to everyone. But it's just like, you know, the internet has been telling these companies, look, y'all need to police yourself before the government comes and does it. Mm-hmm. And they would do a little thing here. It's kind of like they would take two steps forward and then take three steps back. In this case, Facebook may have gotten in a truck and driven backwards. But it's, right. You know, are they ultimately going to become regulated?
I'm looking for this, and I'm so mad I can't remember because it was so funny. There was recently, right before all of this happened, maybe 2 or 3 days ago, sometime last week, there was a politician that was asking Facebook, why aren't they? It was some so ridiculous question that Facebook doesn't actually do or have control over, but the lack of understanding of that politician was so profound that it got made into this joke. And I'll find it.
I know what it is. I remember exactly. So the dude, I can't think of his name, but he was asking her about the properties, quote unquote, the properties that Facebook controls. And one of the properties that he thought was an actual thing was Finsta. Now the slang for Finsta is fake Instagram.
Fake Instagram, yeah.
So he assumed wrongly was that Finsta was an actual product of Facebook and Instagram.
Something else that they could control
and turn on and off. So he was trying to ask the lady, whoever the zec was for Instagram, are you going to take down Finsta? And she was like, I don't understand. That's not how this works.
So was that the Senator Blumenthal?
Yes, that's his name.
Yeah, I actually remember seeing that. I wasn't paying attention. I now wish that I would have been.
But I brought that up, and thank you, Terrence, for remembering for me, because these are the people we want to regulate these platforms. These are the people. This is what we got. So
please tell me the Senator Blumenthal has some aides who are Facebook savvy.
Clearly he did not. If he was able to say some nonsense like that.
It's so funny because I watch This Week with John Oliver. He's on HBO Max. And he's one of the Daily Show, you know, people who kind of broke off and kind of did their own thing. And he did a whole segment on Finsta, right? And he caught somebody sitting right next to Blumenthal. I don't know if this was an aide or not, but when he starts to talk about Finsta, they on the show, John Oliver's show, zoom in on somebody sitting next to him with the oh, like, I can't believe you just said that. So I'm assuming that's an aid. So maybe So maybe there are aides, people telling them, but when they get in front of that camera, like a lot of senators, politicians, they showboat.
You go off script
and then you mess up.
No idea what the hell you're talking about.
Exactly.
And you know what?
That was so funny when I heard that. I was like, come on.
There and this is just how I think. I don't think in conspiracy theories, but I know that there is someone at Facebook who saw that and is like, okay, if he's going to be the one leading this, we're going to be all right. We'll be good.
We're going to be all right.
We'll be good.
We're good.
We can. Let's do this. Let's turn the internet off for about a day.
For a moment.
Let folks know.
Please on the business owners and the people trying to stay in touch and let them know. Send that message.
Yeah, you know, let them know what time it is. And then if he's the one we got to answer questions to, we're good. I know there's some. I'm thinking about it. Listen, therefore, there must be someone at Facebook smarter than me thinking about these things.
You heard it here on the Tech John first. But you heard it here on the Tech John first.
So yeah, this is crazy. I mean, this outage right after the 60 Minutes interview, and folks, if you're just interested in this kind of stuff, go look at the 60 Minutes interview, because it's like Francis has got all kind of receipts. I mean, tens of thousands of documents of what Facebook knows and plans of how they're going to not lie, but not just kind of not tell you. You don't ask the question. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they're thinking about these things. How can we actually get away with this without actually saying it? These are the things this company is doing. So this is a big one. And like I said, it's a coincidence. We don't know that this is what's happening. We just kind of know that this is what's happening. They have the biggest outage in their history. Not 24 hours after this big giant leak, comes out on 60 Minutes.
Mark got that white cat in his lap right now. Sucking back. Excellent.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So, sticking with the social media stuff, this was a story that was just interesting to me. Before we actually started doing the Tech John, this is back in June. I remember hearing this story about where Nigeria, the country, banned Twitter because the president of Nigeria, he actually said some stuff that Twitter thought was, this is kind of out there. We're going to go ahead and take this down. So what he did was like, you don't like my tweet, you're not going to be able to have Twitter or Twitter in the country anymore.
Right.
So, and it was quick. I mean, it was within days that Twitter was banned within the confines of Nigeria. And they have just come out Nigeria lists Twitter ban, but demands it is used for business and positive engagements. And I thought this was really, really, really interesting. They're saying that, well, it can come back if it's used for business and positive engagements. But what President Buhari was tweeting was not positive engagements nor business-like. It was like, yeah, we're going to have to go down south and get these folks. So I'm paraphrasing. That's not what he said, but that was his sentiment. So I want to get you guys' thoughts on this.
Couple things stand out to me about this. Number one, the fact that he actually used Twitter to get elected and then shut it down once he was in office. I was like, okay, irony much. But then the other thing, one of their complaints about the fact that his tweet got taken down was the double standard, which I kind of low key agree with, because Twitter had been, before they banned President Trump after January 6th, they had been very, very vocal and staunch about the fact that political figures' speech is a little bit more protected, quote unquote, than the average person, because they are political figures and we need to know what they're thinking and we need to know what's on their mind. And when Donald Trump, I don't know if he tweeted it or retweeted it, but when the George Floyd protests were happening last year and he something popped up on his account talking about when the looting starts, the shooting starts, and he was not removed from the platform for that. You know, basically this Nigerian president said somewhat of the same thing as far as people protesting.
This he was subtweeting.
Right. Like, we know who y'all are and we're going to show y'all how we get down, kind of thing. It was the exact same thing. And so he got banned while President Trump didn't get banned until Muggs was in the Capitol, you know, stealing wine and laptops. So I think when you look at it like that, that's a very apples to apples comparison. And it was a double standard.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he said kind of like the same thing when the looting starts, the shooting starts, like you said.
I mean, that literally he said the same thing. It's just different words.
Right. I'll read the quote for you. Many of those misbehaving, this is the Nigerian president. Many of those misbehaving today are too young to be aware of the destruction and loss of lives that occurred during the Nigerian Civil War. Those of us in the fields for 30 months who went through the war will treat them in the language they understand. So basically, Sub was like, yo, I don't know if y'all want these problems.
Okay. Don't let your mouth write a check. Yeah. Your behind can't get.
That's basically right. The president saying, we about to get the straps. That's
to get
literally what he just said.
That's what our president said.
Yes,
you
exactly.
He said it more in at least he was eloquent about it. He was very, you know, eloquent of our president. When the looting starts, the shooting starts. So it's just like, what's the difference?
So it was just interesting that they're back now, but they've got these things that they've got to adhere to. So the question is, you know, you can really be freedom of speech here to an extent, but it, you know, there's other places that they have other rules, and you know, it's like, okay, how bad is Nigeria hurting because Twitter was down? And it probably hurt some, but Twitter's back up. And it'll be interesting to see, okay, what exactly did you acquiesce to? Because this is a very, business and positive engagements. That's what Twitter's now limited to. That's very, very broad. It basically means that Twitter's turned back on again. That's basically what that says.
I don't think that means much at all.
Right.
And I think a lot of the people, I love how technologically savvy a lot of the people in Nigeria were, because they just turned to VPNs and got busy anyway. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
So, like I said, it's been a social media type of tech, John. This wasn't even a story that I was going to talk about, but Slack had an outage last week. Now, Slack had the proper DNS outage. They were down for like 4 or 5 hours, and then they came back up. And you can't compare Slack to Facebook. I honestly didn't notice that Slack went down. It wasn't until I was researching stories for this week's show. Oh, Slack went down last week. It was clearly, to people who use it, it probably was a big deal. But Facebook goes down. And like I said, I think all of us have recognized it in some way before reading the article. For me, it was WhatsApp wasn't working. My daughter was, hey, Dad, what's going on with Twitter? Or not Twitter, what's going on with Instagram? I can't see stuff on Instagram all of a sudden.
That and was my like, mom. She was like, my phone ain't working. I was like, it's not your phone, it's Instagram.
It was funny. When I had said, you know, I was, sitting in my loft, and I had said to my wife, whose office is down the hall, the other side of the, you know, house from my loft, but I just yelled down, I was like, hey, Facebook's down. Expect a call from your mom at any moment, because we are her tech support. It's like, hey, when I go to Facebook, I just get this black page. What's going on here? Fix this for me.
Well, my family is not, well, my parents, I'm not necessarily tech support for them, but I am their social media translator. So every time I put something on Facebook, my father puts in a message, what's that? What's that mean? See? What is this? Or he'll call me. I'll put something on Facebook and he'll call me 20 minutes later. What you mean by that? I'm like, oh, it's cryptic. You gotta, you just don't understand the language.
It's
so,
a meme, you know.
Yes,
it's,
yes.
The subtweet. Like, yeah.
Yeah. The backstory, you got to be the right. Inside joke.
And
it's
you can't,
like,
ah. Right. You can't even do it. I know. It's so funny.
So there was an actual, I guess, press event last week held by Amazon. I don't know if you guys got the opportunity to take a look at that. But Amazon announced quite a few products in their fall product event announcement that they had last week. So let's start with the most expensive.
Start from the least important stuff to the most, quote unquote, newsworthy stuff.
Okay.
Save the lead.
Okay. Yes. So they got a new thermostat. It's kind of like a Nest, but different. Mm-hmm. They got that. They have a new Echo Show. Actually, I kind of like that. It's big. It's a 15-inch Echo Show that you can actually mount to the wall. I could foresee one of those going in my kitchen because I've always liked those big Samsung refrigerators with the big LED touchscreen on it. Right. But it's like refrigerators are supposed to last for 15 to 20 years. So just how out of date will that thing be in 15 to 20 years if it lasts that long? Whereas the Echo Show, you spend a couple hundred, $300 on it. And when it's out of date, you just get a new one and put it right back in the same spot. So,
and what they should have did was figured out a way to magnetize it so you could put it on the refrigerator.
Yeah, that would be dope.
And you could probably, I don't know if you mess up any of the memory or internal components if you
possibly.
Do your own. But it might work.
But there was that. Let's see, what else did they do? Amazon Glow.
I actually kind of dig that. This is Amazon and Facebook portal and, you know, all the different sort of screen communication tools have had games built in for a while. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of like a show with a projected gaming sort of platform that gets projected onto the ground that you can interact. It just caught my attention because when I used to be the tech contributor for the Harry Show, I showed a gadget that was a virtual keyboard and it was this little device that would beam a keyboard onto your desk that you could actually type on and it would be connected to your computer. So I was like, oh my God, they kind of took that technology to the next level so that a kid could, you know, have their grandparent up on the screen, but then also be playing a game with them at the same time and interacting with them. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought the price point was a little high, but I thought it was a cool concept.
And so, not only that, the actual interface itself looked weird. It was like a little cube-like, a long cube thing, and it sits right here. I think it would have been better if it was like a larger screen.
The hardware itself does look it was like, why wouldn't you just make it like a regular show? It was weird.
So it's a like a vertical 8-inch screen housed in this device that is also a projector that projects down a 19-inch image that you can actually interact with. So the tech in it is kind of cool. It's like, did you have like old parts laying around that you built this out of? Was like the first thing that I thought of. But like you, Stephanie, this is probably the one that I read the most about because I have a very good friend. It's a former coworker of mine, and his youngest son, who is 6 years old, so he's in first grade, he has severe asthma. And his asthma, and he lives in a state where they do not have a mask mandate. So he simply just can't, because of how bad his son's asthma is, he had to make the choice that not only did his son not get to go to kindergarten, but his son is not actually going to first grade. They're homeschooling him now. Until that, you know, he's on a waiting list. And this is something we can maybe talk about in a different show, but he's on a waiting list to get into a private school where they do have a mask mandate. You know, like, you know, we're private. We can do what we want to do, but the waiting list is immense to get in there. So it could be next school year, the school year after next before they could get him into this school. But I could see something like this actually working for a younger child of that age, because one of the things that this Glow was designed for is that children, they don't have an attention span more than a few moments. And that's being very generous. So this gives them the opportunity that when you are doing that, that video call with grandma, that mm-hmm. grandma can play tic-tac-toe with you. Grandma can draw with you. She can do these other things with you that's going to keep you engaged in that call while you're just having your conversation with a grandparent or a loved one. I could very easily see tutoring being done this way,
particularly
with younger kids. And I was actually kind of shocked that they didn't talk about that. Now there is, you know, there is Kids Plus, which does give you some educational stuff, but it's more like books and nursery rhymes, stuff like that, that you can get for $2.99 a month. And that's included with the Glow. The price right now is $249.99. And it's like kind of limited on who can get it. When it goes general availability, I believe it's going to go up to $300. So the price point might be wrong. As you said, they might need to keep it at that $250, maybe even take it down if they want to get mass adoption of this. But I could absolutely see for those, you know, kids who are home and you want to get them some tutoring. You want to help them catch back up from the year that they missed last year. This is something that could absolutely, you know, do that from what I'm looking at, because like I said, once again, we're just looking at videos. I haven't actually seen this work in person, but it looks pretty good. Like, you know, it's decent at being a video conference machine, as well as, you know, they actually give you like a white tablet that you project down onto. So you put this white tablet that's virtually indestructible down on the table where the child will actually click and press on this tablet, and it'll also pick up the light better coming out of the projector. So they definitely put some thought into how this was being designed, how it would actually be used. I think the sweet spot is for children between 3 and 9 years old. And I'm thinking, like, I just think of my buddy who has a son at home that just can't go to school because people won't wear masks.
Yeah, if anything, keep him engaged in the conversation, because, Lord, I tried to get my 4-year-old to talk to his grandparents. He's like, hey.
Right. And that's
and
it
walks off. And the grandparents is like, so how was your day at school?
I know.
Dinosaurs.
They ain't having it. Yeah, the technology is definitely there. You know, I think a $199 price point would probably sell it a little bit better, or even $189. And then they need the software. So they're going to need to open this up to lots more outside developers to write for it. But it could be super, super useful, you know, especially for educational purposes.
Right. So those are the things that are probably truly useful that came out in this announcement. Oh, I would also say that there is Hey Disney. So that is a add-on for Alexa-powered devices, to where now you can say Hey Disney and it'll be like Olaf responding back, as compared to the Alexa assistant voice and stuff like
that.
Just kind of, you know, kind of cool stuff.
More data.
Right.
Yeah, you got that right.
Now let's get to some of the stuff that technically is cool, but practically probably just not that feasible. The first one is the Always Home Cam. The name does not do it justice at all.
I ain't putting no drone in my house.
The Always Home Cam is a mini drone. It's a $249.99 autonomous security drone that lifts off of a base and flies around your crib and lets you know what's going down when you're not there.
Yo, that's insane. That's straight insanity. Like, there's no way I'm having a drone. Like, my Echo is in a box turned off right now. Like, I don't have any Amazon products in my house. No. It's going to be a no for me, dog. That's all I know.
A drone. Okay, well, if that's a no, let's go to the Amazon Astro. This is a $999 robot.
Shoot.
Now, I have to admit, when you look at it, it's kind of cute. It's a little 2-foot robot. It reminds me of, what was that thing from the latest start, BB-8 or something like that? What was, you know?
No, it reminds me of Wall-E.
It is kind of
Wall-E. Oh, yeah, it does. Like an itty-bitty little Wall-E.
Wall-E vibes, definitely.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, yeah, this is a little robot that for $1,000 cannot do much.
Right.
By not doing much, you can put a drink in it, and it can bring you a drink. It can give you a screen where you can actually make a call from it wherever you are, as long as you don't mind getting down on the floor and talking to it, because it's only 2 feet tall. It does have a periscope. It has a periscope camera that extends up to 4 feet, so it can look up above stuff. I'm not hating, because I remember there was a toy. To me, this is one of the greatest three toys of all time that I had as a child. It was called the Big Track. And the Big Track was basically a tank. It was a robot tank that you could program. It had a little trailer behind it. And the thing was, you would put like an apple in the trailer and program it to go drop an apple off somewhere. I mean, this is a very 80s toy.
It didn't cost $1,000.
It did not cost $1,000. It did not cost $1,000. The Astro kind of reminds me of that, but better, because I had to actually program forward 5 feet, turn 90 degrees, forward 15 feet. It actually got you into doing sequential, command sets. So like, you know, that's what got me into IT, you know, just doing those kind of things, because, you know, I took that and actually got really into robotics. So it did that for me. But this is kind of, it reminds me of that. It's like, oh yeah, it reminds me of the Big Track. You can put a drink in it. It can take a drink to someone. It actually recognizes people's faces.
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm gonna stop you there. It's funny that you say it doesn't do much for the user. Mm-hmm. It's doing a whole hell of a lot for Amazon. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? The idea that you are now collecting facial recognition data in this machine, that's a no right out the gate. Just off of that feature alone.
Right. And outside of that, I guess I'm not an imaginative person. But I can't think of enough use cases to spend $1,000 because, like you said, Rob, yes, it comes like with the little almost like an attachment that you can put a coaster in or a cup holder, and mm-hmm. you put the cup holder in there, and then you can say, OK, go to the other room. But there's no arm to where it can take the drink off.
It can't go to the refrigerator, grab the drink out the refrigerator, put it in its arm, and then bring it to you.
For you. It's not. You know, it's this is not Rosie, you know, right. The robot at all. And it's just, and like I said, for $1,000 and the facial recognition alone. I mean, Amazon did say that it processes the facial recognition data on the device and mm-hmm. not in the cloud. So allegedly none of that data is actually being transmitted to to Amazon, which I don't believe. And you can always turn the camera off and the microphone off and everything else. However, that defeats the purpose of having this $1,000 device. Now you got $1,000 brick.
Can't go up and downstairs.
Rolling around your living room if you're going to turn all the features off. But yeah, this is just way too much data. Now you got a map of your house. I was watching a CNBC video where it first rolls around your house and maps out your entire home. So if someone then steals the device and knows how to hack into it, they got a map of your house. Like, too much data.
They easily said, well, yeah, if they steal it and hack into it and get that. Well, yeah, that's what people do. That was the point of doing it. It's like, that is going to be figured out. That is going to be figured out. And I'm with you. I know that they are telling you that this thing only processes the facial recognition on board. It's not sending that over the internet. Until Amazon comes back and tells you that there was a hack or there was like we were doing it, but it was like anonymized. So it didn't count legally for us to have to actually disclose that when we told you that it didn't do the thing that we're not telling you that it does do. I'm just jaded that way to think that this is how these companies are. But I will say this. It's, you know, I used to think in the same way I'm thinking about this, about the Roomba. You remember when the Roomba, the little vacuum cleaner robot? When that thing first came out, it was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever seen. And it still kind of is. But they actually work. They have gotten better and better and better and better over the years. So is this just the first edition of Rosie? And for those who are too young to know what we're talking about, there was an awesome cartoon that came on way back in the day. It wasn't even for us. We saw reruns of it. It was our parents who watched this back in the late 60s, early 70s, called The Jetsons, that they had a robot who was just awesome called Rosie. So
now if the Amazon Astro, and this is my ultimate thoughts as it relates to pretty much most of these, you know, with the exception of one or two, out of all the things Amazon could be doing with their money, these are the things that they decided to focus on.
This is what you did. Yes.
Now, if you would have came up with an Astro that could come up and tap one of the Amazon employees on the shoulder that's slaving at trying to get this logistical thing and let them take a pee break.
Right.
Say,
Like, look, we made the Astros, and I got a pee in a bottle on my way to delivering packages. Like,
right.
The math ain't mathing.
I'm going to need them to come up again. You know, I don't watch people's pockets, so I can't tell a $1 trillion company how they spend their money. But I could think of some more useful, practical things that Amazon could do that could benefit themselves as well as employees, as well as regular consumers. That's better than $1,000 robot that all it does is has a screen that can look up at you and make funny faces.
So
that's a very good point. Excellent point.
Making that point makes me think, and I don't know if either of you saw this, but I'll ask, did either of you see the SNL skit with Owen Wilson, where basically he was Jeff Bezos as the his brother as the captain of a whatever their spaceship is, and they were doing it like it was like a Star Trek Galaxy Quest,
Blue Origin,
I forget what the name of the ship was, but it's just I'm not big into SNL, but I do go and watch the skits that are funny. This one was actually pretty good. And like I said, I don't want to give it away, but you know, Terrence, you talked about employees needing bathroom breaks. That comes up in the skit. So like I said, I'm not giving it away, but you just need to go watch it. Actually, it will make you chuckle. It will absolutely make you chuckle.
Now I'm gonna have to Google it.
So so y'all, we are getting to that time in the show where last week I actually made the announcement about the founding 50. Stephanie, that was your idea for folks who are holding the show down. So we went in and we created a tier, and we're at 49 folks already. So
listen, shout out to our day one.
Shout out to the day one. So it is with my pleasure that I get to read off a gaggle of new patrons who are supporting the show. So for those of you who don't know, you can support our show, The Tech John, by just heading over to patreon.com/The Tech John. And when you get there, you will see various tiers where you can, where you can donate to the show, and you will get some benefits based off of whatever tier you get. But we wanted to do something special for the first 50, for the founding 50. So we have, as I said, 51 names that we need to read off here. So I'm just going to go through them here as we're wrapping the show up. So we have Naji Nujimi, Frank Hurtado, Sean Craig, Daryl Tisdale, Sarcastic Weasel, Jared Shockley, Stephen Ewell, Bruce Wilson, Tom Keekley, Gabrielle Haley, Megatron. I don't think it's that Megatron, but maybe it could be. I don't know. I don't know his email address. Katinka Verheist, Peter, Charlie Hoover, Matthew Stevens, Ed Perez, Mark Fleming, Gary Fisher, Brian Martinson, John Howell, Brandon Sadat, Andrew Bradley, Chris Baer, James Castellino, Charles Hall, Aaron Vanderpool, Norbert Fraza, Garrett Pasul, Norm Frazakis, Mike Edge James, Chantrell Every, Nathaniel Lindley, and Rushan Brantley.
Hey, now.
Some of them names like Edge James, it's Edrin James from the Colts. I wonder if it's the same Edrin James as running back, but
is that Edrin James?
I don't know, but just reading some of these names reminded me. Talk about skits, Rob. That reminds me of Key and Peele, where they do the they read off the names for the East.
The East West Bowl.
Yeah, the East West Bowl, the Megatron one. Yeah, that made me come up. Some of them names reminded me of that East West Bowl skit. That's a classic skit.
Let me find out. We got some celebrities Patreon.
We might. We out there.
Listen, our founding 50 are all celebrities to us. We love you. We really do.
So, with that, that is our episode 4 of The Tech John. Stephanie, why don't you start and tell everybody how they can reach you?
You can follow me all around the web at Tech Life Steph, and you can check out my website at tilldeathyoutweet.com.
And you can find me everywhere, well, with the exception of Facebook and Instagram. You can find me at Brother Tech, BROTHATECH.
And you can find me at all things at Rob Dunwood. That's RobDunne. And be sure to join us next week for another episode of The Tech John.
You have a regular. regular saying? I think,
We just say peace at the end. Yeah.
Yes, peace.
And we just messed that all up. So
you know what happened to peace?
Peace. Peace. Ah, that's a good one.
The real ones know.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.